I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we want to look at the passage of Scripture here that talks about Adam and Eve while they were in the Garden of Eden. Last Wednesday night, we studied about God hiding Himself. I know that's an expression that many people don't even know is in God's Word. It's about God hiding Himself. There are many times in the Word of God that different ones have talked about God hiding Himself. And also about God revealing Himself. There are times that God hides Himself. And David asked two different questions. One time David said, why? He asked God, why hidest thyself? Why are you hiding from me, God? And then in about three Psalms later, he says, how long wilt thou hide thyself from me? Isaiah talked about that verily God is a God that hideth himself. Job talked about how he tried to find God and God had hidden himself from Job's life. There are times that God hides himself from us. Sometimes it's because we've been disobedient and God hides himself and we cannot find him. The Word of God says that we need to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So we need to pray that God will help us to live in such a way that God would not separate himself from us and hide himself from us. But even when a child of God lives right and tries to serve God, there are times that God will hide himself as a trial of our faith. And then the Word of God talks about how God reveals himself and God manifests himself to us. This morning, the thought that's on my heart is not about God hiding himself, but about how we sometimes try to hide from God. Now, I don't think we always realize that we're trying to do that, but I think that by our actions that we sometimes are trying to hide from God. We'll study now from Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. The Word of God says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Do you remember what God had told Adam about not partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? He told them that they could freely eat of all the trees in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, they died that day. They didn't just begin a physical death. The word death means separation, and they died. They were separated from fellowship with God that very day. And that's what we're reading about now. They partook of the forbidden fruit. Verse 7 says, Genesis 3, verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Now, who were they hiding themselves from? Who did they think they were hiding themselves from? Now, isn't that foolish to think you can just take some fig leaves and hide from God with fig leaves? And by the way, do you know what happens to fig leaves after you take them off the fig tree? And you know what's going to happen to those fig leaves in just 2 or 3 hours? They're going to die, they're going to dry up, and they're going to wither up. They're going to crumble. So they took the fig leaves and they sewed the fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 8 says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what are the next two words there? Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now they first tried to use just the fig leaves. Now they're going to go further than that and hide among the trees of the garden. So they hid themselves, the Word of God says, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Now, did God know where they were? Yes, He did know. He sure did. You know, yesterday, our grandchildren love to play hide and seek. I think that's their number one game. They love to play hide and seek. And almost every day they come, they want to play hide and seek. And Teresa and I just sat there yesterday. We told them they couldn't. Sometimes they go all over the house hiding, but we told them they could only hide in the living room. Well, there aren't many places when you've got three or four children playing hide and seek. There aren't many places to hide. Bryson got down behind a little toy, and he hid his head. And you could see all the rest of his body, but his head was behind the toy. And it seemed like he thought, well, if my head, if I can't see her, she can't see me. And different ones, they were hiding. Some would hide under a table, and they'd get their head way up under the edge of the table where they couldn't see the person that was looking, and you could see the body plainly, but they thought, well, now, if he can't see me, then he can't, if I can't see him, then he can't see me, and I'm well hidden. Well, that's about the way it is. When we think that we're hiding from God, sometimes we think, well, I can't see God, so He must not can see me. And the fact is, there is no place that we can hide from God. And so many times in our lives, we're doing things and we think that they're hidden from God because they're hidden from men. Sometimes people will hide from the preacher. Did you know that? Sometimes, in fact, sometimes people will tell me, don't go see him. He doesn't want to see you. Do you know why? You know why people will say he doesn't want to see you? Well, they're doing, most of the time, they're doing something wrong, and they don't want me to talk to them about what they're doing wrong. And so people will say, don't let Brother Billy know, or don't let Brother Billy find out, and don't let Brother Billy come see me. And sometimes I've even been to houses and knocked on the door, and I would hear them noise before I got there, and when I would knock on the door, everything would just get quiet. And hiding from the preacher has nothing to do with the reality of the problem. You can hide from me, you can deceive me, and you can make me think that everything is fine and nothing is wrong, but you can't hide from God. And that's the main thing we need to remember today is that, but I want you to remember this. If you're trying to hide from God's people, it's also an evidence you're trying to hide from God. People that stay away from the house of God and don't want to be in the house of God around the people of God, and people that don't want to hear the Word of God, it's because they're trying to hide something and they're ashamed of something, and they need to realize they can't hide from God. And that's really the main one that we have to do with anyway, isn't it? You know, I can't do anything to you other than get on to you, but listen, my God, your God, our Father is a jealous God. And our God will not allow us to turn our backs on Him and disobey Him like Adam and Eve had disobeyed Him. And they thought that maybe if they could hide from God, maybe the judgments of God wouldn't come upon them. Maybe they wouldn't die if they could just hide from God. And they hid themselves. And then God said, Where art thou? And I want you to notice now, after God said, Where art thou in verse 9, here's what Adam's response was in verse 10. And he said, that is, Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. You know, the songwriter says, I come to the garden alone, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. Now, did that songwriter, when he talks about God talking to him, was he glad to hear God talking to him when he says, and He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own? That songwriter was talking about the times that we're walking in obedience and we're doing what God would have us to do. And God talks to our heart and to our soul, and we can hear and feel the presence of God, and we're glad to feel the presence of God. The only thing that determines whether we're glad to have God in our presence or ashamed to have God in our presence is, and He's always in our presence, but the thing that determines our feeling is whether we're serving God or not. Adam and Eve right here had disobeyed God. And so the Word of God says that I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. I hid myself. Have you ever tried to hide anything from anyone? Have you ever tried, have any of you that are married, have you any of you ever tried to hide something from your spouse? You know, there are people that look at things on television and people that look at things on the internet, and as soon as somebody walks up that ought not, that they don't want people to see, you know what they do? They'll hit delete or whatever it is you hit to make it go away. Who are they hiding it from? Yeah. Okay. They're hiding from themselves. They're hiding it from other people, but who can they not hide it from? Do teenagers ever try to hide things from their parents? Have any of you parents ever found things that you were shocked that your children had, and they were hiding it from you, and you found it, and their immediate response was, what do? They'll lie sometimes. This idea of kids will sometimes say, now, you think I would lie to you? Well, yes, sir, they'll lie to you. They will lie. The Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. If you think that your children wouldn't lie and wouldn't do things that are contrary to what God's Word says and contrary to what you say, you're badly deceived. Your children are children, and they sometimes walk contrary to what you tell them to do and what God tells them to do, and you're children of God, and sometimes you do and say and think things you ought not to do, think and say, and when you do, you will try to hide it from God. The main thing that's on my heart this morning is it needs to be impressed on our minds. We cannot hide from God. It started in the Garden of Eden, and it's been true in every age and dispensation. We could go through God's Word and show you time and time again where people tried to hide from God. You cannot hide from God. Now I want to reverse that and ask you about last Wednesday night. Can God hide from you? Yes, God can hide from us, and when God hides Himself, you cannot find Him. But can you hide from God? You cannot hide from God. You remember Achan, for example. You remember how God told the children of Israel when they went into Jericho, they weren't to take anything out of Jericho. And you remember how Achan took that goodly Babylonish garment and he hid it, and that gold and silver, and he hid it in his tent. You know, I think about that a lot. He disobeyed God. He stole the Babylonish garment and the gold and the silver, and what did he have to do with it once he stole it? He had to hide it. Now, pray tell me, what good is some beautiful outfit that all you can do is bury it under your tent? What good is gold and silver if all you can do is just bury it and just hide it? Nobody, doesn't that show how stupid we are sometimes? That we'll do things that, and we can't even enjoy what we're doing, because what we're doing, if anybody else knew that we were doing it, we know we would get in trouble. And so we just need to pray that God will open our eyes and give us wisdom so that we'll stop acting as foolish. Do you think Adam and Eve, did they know that God would find them? Did they know they could not hide from God? They knew that if they had been questioned, if you had asked Adam and Eve, could they hide from God, they would have acknowledged, no, you can't hide from God. These were not dumb people in the Garden of Eden. These people were smarter than any people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. Adam and Eve were made in the image of God, and they were made without sin, and they were so smart that, listen, Adam could name every sin. Adam named, by the way, Adam named every single animal. Every single animal. God brought them before Adam and he named them. Every name. Now, that's a smart man. You start trying to come up with names that aren't in the dictionary that people haven't already named them. You start calling all these animals some other name, you'll soon run out of ability to name them names. Adam was a smart man. Adam knew he couldn't hide from God. And sometimes we know we can't hide from God, but what do we just need to be reminded of this morning? We need to be reminded, I can't hide from God, and I can't hide anything from God. You know this. I'm not telling you anything new. But listen, God sometimes reminds us. What Peter says, I put you in remembrance of those things that you once knew, so that you can be mindful of those things. We need to be mindful. I cannot hide from God, and I can't hide anything from God. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 139. Please look in your Bibles at Psalm 139. Turn there because it's important that you look at God's Word and listen carefully to what God says in Psalm. Oh, by the way, this is David writing in Psalm 139. Could David write with authority that you can't hide from God? Did David one time do something at night that he thought he had hidden from God? He thought it was hidden, didn't he? And then a little problem cropped up. And then he decided he had to do something else to try to hide this sin in his life. And he did something else, and then that came to light. And everything David did, it all began to come to light. And that's the way it is in our lives. So now David knew you can't hide from God, didn't he? And so David writes these words now. And by the way, I believe this psalm was written after he had sinned. And I want you to listen to what the Scripture says in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1. He says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Now, is that a good thought or a bad thought? O Lord, Thou hast searched me. I had heads going both ways. That's a good thought. Oh, that's a bad thought. Is it good or bad that God searches us and knows us? Okay, very good. Very good. Brother Robert said it's truth. It's truth. Doesn't matter whether you think it's good or whether you think it's bad. It's truth. God searches us and tries us. Now that's the truth. And sometimes I want God to search me. And sometimes I don't want God to search me. It's kind of like at the airport. If somebody recently told me that they were flying a plane and they had a real good pocket knife, a case bone handle pocket knife. And they said, I realized as I was getting close to the check-in counter that they might take my treasured knife from me. And he said, I was hoping there would be some way I could get in. So he said, I slid it into my little overnight bag and put it through that thing, and boom, they caught it just like that. He said, please, this is a special knife. Please, they took his knife. He could not get it back. Are you sometimes afraid to be searched? Are you ready for right now? Let's go to your house this afternoon. Let's go through everything at your house right now. How many of you are ready for me to come home with you, and we're just going to have a search of your whole house? How many of you want that? Why don't we want people to know everything that's in our house? Well, sometimes we have things in our house we don't want people to know about. But the question is, does God know what's in your house? Yes. And will God judge me and you according to what's in our houses? Does it make a difference to God? Can you hide it from God? He says here, not only can you not hide something in your house from God, you can have it in your head. And God knows what's going on in your head. Psalm 139, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Did you know every time I stand up, every time I sit down, God's there. He knows my uprising and my down sitting. Thou understandest my thought afar off. You know what that means? Before I ever think it, God knows I'm going to think it. Thou understandest my thought afar off. He knows what I'm going to think every day the rest of my life. Now that knowledge is too wonderful for me. That is, I can't comprehend how much God knows about me. God knows far more about me than I know about myself. Sometimes I think I'm doing things for the right reason, and I may be doing them for the wrong reason. I have to search my heart because God's going to search my heart. He knows my thoughts afar off. Verse 3, he says, Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. Every way, everything I ever do, God knows about all my ways. You know, sometimes I ask some of you, I'll say, have you been behaving yourself? Have any of you ever heard me ask you that? Have you been behaving yourself? Sometimes I ask, especially some of these teenagers, I say, have you been behaving yourself? And almost always I hear, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Well, and then I say, are you sure you've been behaving yourself? Well, most of the time I'm behaving myself. Well, that's pretty good. If most of the time you're behaving yourself, that's pretty good, you know. We need to try to do it all the time, but we don't do it all the time. Everybody that behaves yourself all the time, please rise. Stand up. Just tell everybody how wonderful you are. We all try to hide things from God, don't we? Do we need to pray, God, help me to realize I can't, help me to think about it. If every day, if I'm thinking every day that I cannot hide anything from God, it will have a profound effect on the way I live, even my thoughts. He says in verse 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Every word that we speak, the Bible says, Jesus says, that every idle word that I ever speak, I'm going to be judged according to that word. So he says, he knows when I rise up, he knows when I sit down, he knows when I'm walking, he knows about all of my ways, he knows all of my thoughts, he knows all of my words. There's nothing that is hid from God. Nothing that's hid from God. Come down to verse 7. David asked this question. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Look at one other verse, verse 12. He says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You get in the darkness. You know, we sing songs. Let me warn you about listening to all these country songs. There's a lot, most of them, most country songs, and if you disagree with this now, you come see me. But most country songs undermine and contradict what God's Word says. And if you keep listening to those country songs, you're headed for trouble in your life. And one of the songs says, well, I'm not sure that it's a country song, but one of the worldly songs says, no one knows what goes on. What's the rest of that? Behind closed doors. Oh, that's just not true. There is someone who knows what goes on behind closed doors. There is someone who knows what goes on in the dark. There is someone who knows what you do. And let me tell you, it's not Santa Claus. That's a lie from the devil. He knows when you're asleep. He knows when you're awake. That's a lie from the devil, brethren. God is the only one who knows when you're sleeping and knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. That applies to God, not to some fictitious character in this world. Don't you ever give the attributes of God to some little fairy. You talk about God, you teach your children about the truth of God, and don't let it equate the world with God's attributes. Does God know everything about me? Am I going to have to give account for everything I do? Is everything I do, am I going to have to give account to God for everything I do? Everything I say? Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12 just a moment. Turn to Luke chapter 12. I want you to listen to Luke chapter 12 verses 2 and 3. That we cannot hide anything from God. Listen carefully. This is the last verse I'm going to give you about we can't hide from God. It's not the last one I'm going to give you, but it's the last verse I'm going to give you about we can't hide from God. Luke 12, verses 2 and 3. The Word of God says, and this is Jesus speaking in Luke chapter 12, verse 2. He says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Have you ever said this to somebody? Don't you tell anybody this. Don't tell any. What's this saying? You whispered in the closet. Whatever's heard in the ear in the closet, it's going to be shouted from the housetop. You better be careful about what you say. It'll come back to haunt you. Now, I want to give something beautiful, if you'll just listen just a minute. We cannot hide from God. Remember that. But now, we can hide in God. Listen very, very carefully now. There's a difference in us hiding from God and us hiding in God. In God. One of the songs that we love to sing, or I love to sing, is Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. You know what a cleft is? Cleft in a rock. Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Let me hide myself in Thee. Another song that we sing is, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. God is a hiding place for His people. He hides me from Satan sometimes. He hides me from trouble. And sometimes when the storms of life are raging, you know what God does? He'll just hide me. God is a hiding place that you can really hide in. I'm not talking about those funny little hidings that kids do. I'm talking about a real hiding place where nothing can touch you. Do you ever need a real hiding place like that amidst all the troubles and problems of life? Isn't it good to just kind of burrow up in that cleft of the rock, burrow up in His bosom? Isn't it good to get in your Father's arms and feel the love of God just wrapped round about you and know you're hidden in God? Have any of you ever felt like you were hidden in God? That God just took you up in His arms and He wrapped His arms around you and He hid you from all the troubles and heartaches and problems in this world. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? Even though I can't hide from God, He'll let me hide in Him. And He hides me sometimes from the problems of this world. Go with me in your Bibles to Isaiah. Please look in your Bibles at Isaiah chapter 32. I want us to just look at what the Word of God says. A prophecy about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, tells us about God is a hiding place. God is a place that you can hide. You know, sometimes my grandchildren really hide good. There have been one or two times that they have hidden, and I didn't know whether they... I've searched the house, and I've even hollered, "You better come out now. I can't find you. I give up. You win." They're hidden good. Now that's the way God hides us. Listen, brethren, when God hides us, nothing, the devil and all of his angels can't find us. Do you know why I know I'm going to be in eternal heaven when this world is over? You know why I'm going to be? This is why you're going to be in the eternal heaven. The Bible says that we're preserved in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We're hidden in Christ Jesus. The devil, and the Bible says that Jesus says that we're in His hand and in the hand of the Father. Now, I'll tell you, God's got us well hidden from the devil. The devil and all of his angels cannot separate us from the love of God. We're preserved. We're hidden under the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil can't find us as far as eternal hell is concerned. But now listen in Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32 says, listen, please, to verses 1 and 2. This is talking about Jesus is our hiding place. Isaiah chapter 32, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Jesus is a rock in a weary land. But listen, the first part of verse 2 says, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest." Who is that man that is as a hiding place and as a covert? Who is that man? That man is Jesus Christ. He is the only one who is our hiding place. And He's a perfect hiding place. So every time you're having trouble and problems in your life, you know what you need to do? You need to run to that hiding place. Every time you feel like the burdens of life are getting too heavy and you think you can't stand it, there's one place and only one place you can go. That's you run to your hiding place. I'm glad I've got a hiding place. I'm glad I have a man who is a hiding place in the midst of the storms and troubles and problems and heartaches in this world. And when I go there and I hide, you know what I find? I find peace in my soul. I find that feeling of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm in the kingdom of heaven when I'm in this hiding place. I'm in the presence of God. I'm in the bosom of Jesus Christ. What a great privilege we have, not just to go to heaven when we die, but what a privilege we have to have a hiding place while we live here in this world. Brethren, I look forward to heaven, but I'll tell you, right now, while I'm living, I am more thankful for the kingdom of heaven than I am for eternal heaven. You might not understand what I'm saying. But brethren, while I'm living in this world, I need a hiding place. I need Jesus day by day. I need Him to help me. I need Him every moment, every hour of every day. I need a hiding place. Go with me in closing to just one other verse of Scripture. Back up in your Bibles to the book of Psalms again. I want to go back to Psalm 17. Psalm 17, listen to verses 8 and 9. Psalm 17, verses 8 and 9, talking about Jesus being our hiding place. Now, I can't hide from God, but listen, can you hide from the troubles of this world? You might say, oh, you can't hide. Oh, yes, you can. At least temporarily, you can hide from the troubles of this world and the problems of this life. You can hide from the heartaches. Psalm 17, verses 8 and 9, he says, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. You know what Jesus said in the book of Matthew to the Jews? He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have hidden you. Like a hen hides her little bitties under her. Have any of you ever seen I think Brother Dalton raises chickens. You ever have any little bitties, little baby chickens? Have you ever seen the little baby chickens get up under the wings of the mama? When the mamas, if you get out there around them, sometimes if the mama thinks that something's going to hurt those little bitties, that mama will just spread her wings out, and those bitties get all up under her, spread her feathers out. Listen, brethren, that's just a little comparison to how God blesses us and hides us under the shadow of His wings. He says, verse 9, he says, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. God hides us from those things. One other verse, and I'll close. Psalm 27, verse 5. This was the one I was going back to, but I wanted to mention Psalm 17. Listen to Psalm 27, verse 5. Psalm 27, verse 5. Listen to what the Word of God says. This is about God hiding us. Not about us hiding from God, but about God hiding us. Psalm 27, verse 5, David is writing this psalm, and David says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me up upon a rock. There's a difference in us hiding from God and us hiding in God. God will hide himself from us. We need to hide ourselves in God. And we need to know we cannot hide anything from God. May God help us to believe and understand His truth is my prayer for Christ's sake.